All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and let's see, where do I want you to go? Wrong page. I thought, wow, did I bring the wrong notes? No, I didn't. There it is. Let me just catch my breath here now. All right. I did that once, and years and years ago, and I had Sterling sing another song while I went back to get the right notes. But anyway, we're good. All right, let's turn, please, to 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read a couple of verses here to get us started tonight. Now, what we're looking at, last week I gave you the introduction to the topic, and what we are looking at is future glory and rewards. You know, our Constitution is very clear that we believe that there is an eternal heaven to where the saints of God will go, and we also believe, and we've already talked about this one, or I taught on this one, we also believe that there is an eternal hell where the lost, the unsaved, will go and spend eternity paying the wages for their sin, a debt which will never get paid off, by the way. All right, but now for the believer, we're looking at our future glory. What the Bible says is awaiting the saints of God. And we have a lot that is awaiting us for sure. And so you remember last week that the Apostle Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians 15, and he asked the question, O death, where is thy sting? All right, where is thy sting? Well, you know, for someone who is not saved, there is a real sting of death. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in the ministry is to do funeral for someone who has repeatedly rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a hard funeral to do. You absolutely have no hope whatsoever that person is in heaven. And it's hard. It's very hard to do. And of course, people aren't dumb, and they know the way somebody lives their life. And I would never get up and try to preach someone into heaven, as they say, because first of all, you can't do that, and secondly, it would just be futile to even go down that road. People know, isn't it funny? People know what a Christian should be. People know what a Christian is. Oh, yeah, they know. And if you see somebody who lives like the devil and then you try to preach them into heaven, well, people are not fooled by that at all. All right, so now we have a lot to look forward to. We saw last week that there is a light affliction. Life is a light affliction. We're here for a moment, but in the light of eternity, we are only here for a short time. And then we go on to heaven. Now look, please, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read just a few verses here, starting in verse 6. And Paul says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." All right, now everybody understands that, right? As long as we are alive here on this earth, we are absent from the Lord. The Lord, we know, ascended up to take a seat at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. All right, so that's where the Lord is. He's in heaven, and we are here. So while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But now look at verse 7. For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. All right, now let me stop here and just say to you that sight is for the next world. All right, we live by faith now, but in the next world, in eternity, we believers are going to be with the Lord and we will see him. Over and over and over, and I'm going to show you some of those verses tonight, if we get to it. But over and over and over in the Scripture, the Bible tells us that we will see the Lord. Amen. We will physically see him. So how do we see him today? Well, we see him by faith. All right, we read the Word of God, we read the Bible, and then we see the Lord by faith. But when we get from this world to the next world, our faith is going to be turned into sight, and we will see him face to face. All right, now look at verse 8. We are, what's that word? Confident, yes. Folks, listen, don't ever doubt your salvation. That's the devil trying to mess you up. You just don't doubt your salvation. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then stand on that. Believe it. Accept it. Live it. I mean, just be confident. And Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So there are four verses right there that kind of give us this this breakdown. Right now, by faith, we live for the Lord, and we have confidence, and we have hope. All right, that's something that an unsaved world does not have. An unsaved world does not have hope in eternal life. We often train our folks here in the matter of soul winning. And when we do, we always tell you to ask the question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And probably about 9 times out of 10, you're going to have somebody tell you, well, I hope I would go. All right, but that hope is not the same kind of hope that we have as believers. All right, our hope is based upon authority. What authority? This one right here. This is our authority. And so we know what the Bible says to us over and over and over about our salvation. And that salvation is eternal. And so one of these days, our great blessed hope, not that we hope we're going to get there. No. We look forward to when we get there. That's our blessed hope, that we're going to leave here and go to be with Christ in heaven forever. So the So let's look first of all tonight at the future glory of believers. All right, the future glory of believers. The first thing we need to understand is once we leave this world and go out into eternity, we will immediately see our Lord, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to see him immediately. I don't know about you, but for all these years now, since October the 25th, 1970, I have seen the Lord Jesus through eyes of faith as I have seen him in this book. All right? So I've seen him, but only through eyes of faith. But one day, I'm going to be either raptured from here and taken up to meet him in the clouds, or I'm going to drop over someday. I hope I fall asleep and die in my sleep, to be honest with you. That would be the way to go, wouldn't it? Just close your eyes here and wake up in heaven. Wow, I'd take that any day. All right, but I'm either going to meet him in the clouds through the rapture, or I'm going to meet him face to face in heaven. And when that happens, my faith is going to be turned into sight. Now, in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We see Paul say, therefore, we are always confident. What are we confident about? Well, we know. You see that in your Bible? Look at it. Look what he said. Therefore, verse 6, we are always confident. What are we confident about? Knowing. You see, we know. Why do we know? Because we've read it here and we believe it. All right? And I know those naysayers, you know, these folks, well, you certainly don't believe in that once saved, always saved doctrine. Yes, I do. Yes. You say, well, my grandma said, I'm going to take God's word over granny's. All right? Now, I'm sure your granny is a good person. I'm not dissing on your granny, all right? Please understand that. But I believe that God knows more about our salvation than granny knows. All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word for perish is. It's perish. All right. Well, it's got to have three or four meanings underneath it. And I'm sure there's an if or a but in there somewhere. No, there's not. I've researched it. I've checked it. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What's everlasting? That means forever. Forever. So do you believe in eternal security? Sure I do. Why? Because that's what God said. That's what Jesus said himself. So yeah, I believe in eternal security. Life, and I believe that I believe it so much, I'm confident about it. That's why I would say to you that as Paul did, we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from with the Lord. I am so confident that my salvation is eternal that I can say with Paul, I am willing to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm confident that that's what is awaiting me. All right, now let's look at another passage here. I'm going to try and drill this home to you. All right, go to John chapter 14 for just a moment. John 14. This is without a doubt one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. So full of promise. And look, please, now let's start in verse 1. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Now let me set the table for you here. The Lord has been in the upper room with the disciples in chapter 13, the previous chapter. And he has washed the disciples' feet. And then Judas has betrayed. He has left to go turn the Lord Jesus in for silver, for money. And so the Lord now is taking from the upper room his disciples over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's soon going to be arrested and taken prisoner and taken over to the house of Caiaphas, which is just a quarter of a mile out the road from where Gethsemane is. So what we see here is the Lord Jesus knowing that the disciples are quite upset. Jesus has been talking about his death. He's been talking about leaving them. So naturally, they're distraught over those comments. And so he says in verse 1, look at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now watch this. "And if I go," and by the way, he did go. All right? "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Huh. That's pretty emphatic, don't you think? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So when we leave here, we're going to heaven and we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with him. I don't know how he could say it any more plainly than what he says here in verse 3. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Well, that's pretty emphatic. So what are we going to do when we go up to heaven, whether by the rapture or by death? What's in store for us? What do we have to look forward to? Well, how about this? You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Now let that sink into you. You know, it doesn't get any better than that. All these years we've served him by faith, but one of these days we're going to see him with our own two eyes. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful promise. And once we leave this earth and go to heaven, we get to be with the Lord. We get to be with him. Hold your place here. Hold your place here, and let me ask you to go over to 1 Thessalonians 4 for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we look down at verse 16, and the Bible here says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord." We're going to meet the Lord. And look at what it says after that. We'll meet the Lord in the air, so in the clouds, in the heavens, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the next verse is plainly stating, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Folks, that should be comforting to your heart to know that the day is coming when, after you have served the Lord for all these years and walked by faith, when you get to see him at the rapture or in heaven, because you pass from this earth and go to heaven to be, you're going to be with him forever. "And wherefore comfort one another with these words." You say, "Boy, the world's a mess." Yes, it is, but you're going to see Jesus. You say, "Well, the Democrats this." I know, but you're going to go get to see Jesus. I don't know of a greater promise to give you tonight. I just don't know. All right, secondly, wait till you see this one. All right, secondly, that's two, not say two. Number two, we will get to, you ready? Behold his face. You say, "Where do you read that?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Go back to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. All right. You there? I'm going to wait for everybody to get here because you got to see this. Everybody there? All right. Look at the last verse, verse 15. Verse 15. And notice here, David says, "As for me, I will," that's future tense. Now, do you know why it was future tense? Because he wasn't dead yet. All right? He says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Now that's packed. That is full of great truth, Bible truth. Notice what he says. He says that there's coming a day when I will see face to face our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. and I'm going to see him in righteousness. You remember, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Yes. All right, so when we get to heaven, we get there because of his righteousness, and his righteousness is the righteousness that he gives to us when we get saved, when we believe in him. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to go in righteousness. Why? Because the soul of man, which is the only part of you that's eternal. All right? Your body is not eternal. If you don't believe it, tomorrow morning, look in the mirror. All right? Look in the mirror. Now, warn folks before you do, so you don't scream and wake up the whole neighborhood. All right? But yeah, we but our soul lives forever. It is the eternal part of us. And that, once we are saved, is righteous. It is redeemed. It is washed in the blood. And we go from here, our soul goes from here up to be with the Lord. And David said in this verse, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." So that's how we're going to see him, folks. We're going to see him in righteousness. And look at this next part. He said, "I shall be satisfied." Well, I reckon so. And you will too. I don't think anybody's going to stand in the clouds looking at the Savior and say, "Oh, well, I thought you'd be taller." No. You're going to be thrilled when you see him. Several years back now, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I was preaching somewhere. Let me see if I can remember where it was. Yeah, blank. But I was preaching in a church somewhere, and Dr. Smith and I were preaching in a SWORD conference, and this fella came up to me. He was in his, I don't know, 20s, late 20s, maybe early 30s, and he walked up and he said, "Well," and he stuck his hand out, shook my hand, and I shook his hand, and he said, "It's good to meet you." He said, "I've heard you preach many, many times on CDs, and I've gotten on your website, listened to your sermons on your website, and I thought you'd be much taller." And I said, "Well, you ain't much to look at either, bud." Yeah, I did. I mean, I smiled when I said it. He knew I was joking, but, you know, I mean, man, just, here's your knife back, you know. It was smart aleck. But anyway, yeah, "We will awake," he said, "in thy likeness." Awake. "When I awake with thy likeness." Now, this is Old Testament, folks. This was David long before the Lord Jesus ever came on this planet. All right? Now, go over to the New Testament for just a moment. Remember what is written here in verse 15. And go over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John 3. Have y'all gotten your the pages of your Bible so worn now that, you know, you don't make any sound when you're turning the pages? Is that it? I hope that's it. Either that or y'all have figured out a way to sleep with your eyes open. I'm joking. Come on. All right, look please at chapter 3, verse 1. Here's John in the New Testament. And John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." All right, now you'll remember that I have taught you through the years, when you see that little phrase in the New Testament, "what manner of," that is not talking about what kind of. Now that's what we would say today. What kind of love? Well, what kind of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Now it doesn't mean what kind of love. Here's what it means. It means, where does it come from? Yeah. Where does it come from? Now look at it in that light. Behold, where does love come from, like the love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Where does it come from? Doesn't come from around here, right? No, this is not earthly love. This is God's love. This is perfect love. And then it goes on to say, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now watch. "Beloved," what's the next word? "Now." What's "now" mean? Right now. All right. Or as they say down south, "rat now." All right. "Rat now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we," what? Oh, I like that word. Don't you like that word? You can be confident, folks. That's what he's saying. "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So, what manner of love? What manner of love? So he says, "Beloved, now," right this minute, "we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear." We haven't gotten there yet. So none of us have experienced what one day we're going to experience, because we're saved from our sins because of Christ. And so he said, "Now we are the sons of God, for we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." All right, so let's say the Lord appears in the clouds. The rapture takes place. The trumpet sounds. The archangel shouts. And the dead in Christ go up first. Everybody says, why do they get to go first? Because they got 6 feet further to go. Everybody knows that, right? No. I think it's, you know, like the Lord's honoring those who had to pass. So we will not have to physically die. We're just changed in a moment. You ever have arthritis so bad you can't snap your fingers anymore? That's me. Yeah. All right, so we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so how about that? So David says, or John says, and when that happens, we're going to see him. Do you see that in verse 2? For we shall see him as he is. I mean, wow. And David says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Well, you're going to be satisfied too, Christian. You're going to be satisfied too when you look upon his face. When you see those nail-pierced hands. You remember John said that in the book of the Revelation, he said when he looked at the throne, he saw a lamb as though it had been slain from the foundation of the world. Amazing. Amazing. And you're going to be satisfied because you're going to know that it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're there in heaven. All because of him. What wonderful things we have to look forward to. Christian, just imagine that day when you will look upon his face. What a day that's going to be. I don't have words to even describe it. I'm sure there are words, but, you know, thank the Lord for what's coming. All right, now go back to 2 Corinthians again, only this time I want you to go to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm just trying to tie these verses together for you so that you'll see what we have to look forward to. I want you to be confident. Confident. I don't want anybody who calls me pastor to fear death. You should not fear death. If you're born again, you should not fear death. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So no fear. We need to be confident of what the Bible says. All right, now look at chapter 4. And let's go down, please, to, all right, let's start in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, which so many people are doing today, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now watch carefully, verse 6, watch this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, imagine seeing the glory of God Almighty in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to see. When you look upon His face, you're going to see the glory of God the Father shining out of Him. And oh, what glory it will be when we finally see His face. You hear all these people say, the Lord Jesus showed up one night in my room and He said, have a seat on the bed. No. Lord Jesus shows up, you're going to be on your face. Amen. You're going to be on your face. All right? I mean, you go back and look at Paul on the Damascus Road. Right. Lord Jesus showed up. What happened? Fell on his face. And what glory that's going to be. All right, one more verse, real quickly. Go over to Revelation 22. Now, this is the last chapter of the Bible, of course, and we are reading about eternity, the coming eternity. And here's what we see in verse 1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. All right, so 12 fruits, one for each month of the year. All right, so Snickers bars, Reese cups, Butterfinger blizzards, whatever you like. Verse 3, and there shall be no more, what? Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never get tired of looking at His face. You'll never get tired of it. That's amazing. So, what are we going to see what's our future hold? What our future holds for us? Well, we're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Him as He is. And then secondly, we're going to behold His face. Behold His face. All right, we'll continue right there next week. Pick it up right here. There's a few more things before we wrap that part of it up. But heaven is a wonderful place, and that's where we're headed. I want you to be confident of that. All right? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You now for Your wonderful word, and I pray You'll bless this. to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding of the fact that one day our faith will be turned into sight, and we will be like you, for we shall see you as you are. And I just pray that we'll all get excited about what's just around the corner. And all this could start tonight, the trumpet sounding and you taking us home to be with you. So, Father, I pray as John, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we are definitely ready for you to come. So bless your word to our hearts and stir our souls with this blessed truth that we're going to see you literally face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.